Parshas Vayishlach says the Ramban. Three times over in the Parsha, it's called Parshas Golus, the Parsha of Golus. Klal Yisrael are supposed to read up this Parsha before they have any encounter in Golus with the Goyim. They want to make some kind of a application with the Goyim, want to do something. They have to learn from the way Yaakov Avinu handled Esav. And the Ramban brings down in Chazal, one time they forgot to do it, alpi the principles of Parshas Vayishlach, and they weren't successful. Again, the normal system was they would learn up Parshas Vayishlach and then to go to Rome and meet the authorities and be successful. One time they forgot to learn Parshas Vayishlach. Why didn't they learn Parshas Vayishlach? Because they thought this is a different case. This is a shaykhis with Parshas Vayishlach. This is a unique syndrome. This is a unique, massive, special political or economic or other reasons, anti-Semitic reasons. Mela, they decided and said, we don't need to learn the Parsha. It's a different sugya. The Ramban says it was a mistake and they were not successful. We want to understand this in an oifen which most people are not able to understand correctly. Starting on a very simple level. Yaakov Avinu started after he came out of the yeshiva of Aver, he started a struggle of 21 years with Lavan. All types of struggles, some which are obvious in the Chumash, some which are not obvious in the Chumash, in the Medrash, in other Chazalim. He had a tremendous struggle with Lavan, and he won. What is the proof that he won? At the end, Lavan chases after him. Says, Yeshra'el Yori, I'm able to destroy you, but Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't let me. It means Yaakov Avinu won that combat, that fight. Yaakov Avinu leaves that combat. Phew, is it the way back to Yisrael now? Let things go easy. No, he has a new combat coming up. Now he's not handling a father-in-law who's got schemes to damage him. He's got to do with a brother who's coming to him with a huge army of highly trained terrorists. And these are the grandfathers of the Hezbollahs in Teuchen. Very highly drilled warriors. And it wasn't a poshut sugya. You can't just get on with them by fighting on a poshut. So he made a whole maroche, structured combat. Doiren, Tfilah, Muhammad, three areas of activity, like Chazal say, sending presents, Tfilah, prayer, he actually prepared for a war as well. And the system which Yaakov Avinu used to combat this new onslaught which he suffered was expected to be a indication for Klal Yisrael throughout the generations how to behave when they have problems in Golos with the authorities. We want to make a little agdoma. Moshel l'mor dover doime. There are availability of a person, the moshel, has a car. A car is not supposed to have an accident. Bez Hashem, a car should drive safely and bring him to wherever he wants to go. In case chas v'sholem, an accident happens, there are ways of providing and solving the accident. Seat belts, insurance, sometimes that doesn't help either. Akaponim, there are what we call accidents which happen on the way. Yes, this topic, I want you to analyze and think yourself clearly what we're discussing here. Does the interaction with Yaakov had with Lavan appear to you to be an accident or a program? Quite obviously it was a program. Yaakov Avinu's life didn't have accidents in it. It was programmed that he should have to marry ladies from a man like Lavan, who was the antithesis of what Yaakov Avinu was aiming for. He had to struggle with him and he had to succeed. Baruch Hashem, he managed. Now there's a new story. He meets Esav. It's incorrect to perceive the mavak, the struggle with Esav, as a happening coincidence and accident. In other words, most wars which happen, we say, life could have gone on. Some crazy guy got into the Mechalaka making a war. We had to take care of it. Yaakov Avinu, that wasn't the matzav. Yaakov Avinu, there was part of his program as being father of Klal Yisrael, was to have an experience on a personal level with Lavan. Struggle for 22 years till he won that. And he got a title, you won. And then he had another struggle, which was with Esav himself. Esav as a exterminator, as a fighter. Esav who was going to come and go to war with the Jewish people, which like Golus. And he had to not only survive that, he had to win that and come out on top. Yaakov Avinu did not have this as a coincidence. Say, for example, Yaakov had an ingrown toenail, and the Chumash would tell us how he took care of his ingrown toenail. That's not what the Pshat is. The Pshat is, the Chumash is telling us that in the build of Klal Yisrael, in the establishment of the foundations of Klal Yisrael, like Avraham had his Nisyonis, Yitzchak had his, Yaakov had to, in his preparation for the generations, have a actual mifgash, meeting with Esav as Ochi Esav, as we'll explain later, and he had to win that, and that was a preparation for the generations. And now we'll understand a bit better that these two stages, the two stages, which is Yanka's personal struggle with his father-in-law, Lavan, the big Osha, and his struggle, which wasn't only his personal, was of the whole existence of his two camps with Esav, are representing, are symbolic of the two struggles which Klal Yisrael have throughout generations. Every individual indeed has a struggle with Zon Yetzirah. That represents the fight with Lavan. Klal Yisrael are having a struggle with Sogoi Shel Esav. Klal Yisrael generally are having a constant struggle with Esav, and they're trying to exterminate us, and we have to try and survive. And that war, the pasuk says, will continue till Ad Aloysa Shachar, till Mashiach comes. Said a bit further, now we want to really get to the crux. In the same way as we have mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lois asay. What do mitzvahs asay tell us? Mitzvah asay means parant fidim, parant tzitzis, keep Shabbos, certain parts of Shabbos in our asay. Mitzvahs kabbalis avicha, mitzvahs v'yoresu menakecha, mitzvah of davening, mitzvah of krishma, mitzvah of v'haftarecha kamecha. We have a lot of mitzvahs, 248 mitzvahs to do. The purpose of the mitzvahs to do is positive connection and communication with Hashem. There's a second set of mitzvahs, which are the lois asay. What's the purpose of the asay? Don't. 365 don'ts. What is the purpose of the 365 don'ts? Can you say that that connects you to the Eibishter? No. What does it do? It prevents you getting estranged from Hashem. That's the pshat. The avedos are mavdil. You mustn't do it. Yet more, when you have a combat with the Yetzirah to do an Aveira, then you mekayim a mitzvah of Yireisim and Akecha, that makes you close to Hashem. How would you perceive the life of a person who went through 70 years of his life and carried out all the mitzvahs he came across and never once had a temptation to do an Aveira? Never found any unkosher food, never had bosa b'cholov. He had never an opportunity to do any Aveira. Looks utopian to you, yeah? What would you call that guy? He's happy. He's well off. He saved all his struggles, which you and I have. We all have struggles. We're struggling with our Yetzirah, laziness, which tells us not to do mitzvahs, and the Yetzirah of Taiva and other Yetzirahs which make us want to do Aveira. So we're struggling with it. That's man. We've got a fellow who's taking particular vitamins. No struggle. He never meets any of us. What would you say to this guy? A person who does not understand purpose of the world would say, she's great. He'd become big time. He'd be at ease. He'd have an easy life. He can get to the top. And you know what the emes is. He can't get anywhere. He is what the Chazon Ish called a Baal Mum. Why is he a Baal Mum? A Baal Mum is a person with a blemish. Like a person with an extra hand or a missing hand. Comes to the same thing. A man's perfection can only be achieved by him doing and fighting to refrain from not doing. And if for some reason he's missing that element, he didn't get to any shleimus. He's built the sholem. This is a long issue which is discussed before. We're only bringing it down here. Legabei showing a pattern. Nobody should understand that when you get exposed to an avera, which you have to struggle to overcome, that it's an accident. It's not an accident. That's part of Hashem's program to expose you constantly to opportunities to mitzvahs and constantly to temptations of avedas. You overcome them and then you get to where you're supposed to get. The struggle is part of the program. We have to understand that that is also the same pattern, the Gabe Yidin and Goyim. Please listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. We live in what I would call a matzav in a society, Baruch Hashem, Yeshiva, Bnei Brak, Mochim Teira, etc. Struggles today with powers like Esav in the second Bechina we don't seem to have. They had 60 years ago. There have been a few wars here, correct? And let me tell you, the matzah is not so poshut. Yeah, you go down a bit south, not so far, an hour's drive from here, and there's chasms arriving every couple of minutes and making terrible noise there. It can frighten the life out of you. You can do tshuva when you hear one of those. Yeah, it's not poshut. I've heard from people who've been in proximity to it. It's a very frightening experience. And other places, north and south, not so easy. West, the matzav of Klal Yisrael is a pretty precarious. We're not in communication with it. We're still very protecting of a neighborhood. We're fine. I want you to hear an akuda, please. There's a very important akuda in Ashkofer. Whenever Klal Yisrael does get into a situation of a vikuach, a struggle, a combat with Esav, never look at it as an accident. Never look at it as a mikra. Look at it just the same as Lois Asas. That's part of the program. We'll explain it better and then you'll understand the mamakim of it. Take a simple example. There's a person who lives on a street. He lives on a street. He goes on the street and a little guy, a thug, a biryon, plus the guy starts up with him. Start calling his name, start throwing stones at him. Starts sending the dogs after him. And Shisa Baisa Kelev. And some other very unpleasant things. What is he trying to do? He tries to take care of it in the way which you take care of it. There's ways to take care of it. Tries to dodge us, whatever he does. There are two ways of philosophically looking at what happened. You can look at what happened as bad matter. I lived in the wrong road, or he lives in the wrong road, yeah? I got in his nerves, or he got on my nerves. Something went wrong here, yeah? Something went wrong, yeah? And therefore, you have to try and handle it, putting that something right. That's one way of looking at it. You can look at it a different way completely. Nothing went wrong. There's a trend in the whole Klal Yisrael which is written in Parsha Vayishlach. This is part of that trend. This is part of a pattern. It's part of a tochnit. This Shmendrik who's throwing stones at me, he's part of that tochnit. He's part of that program. He's operating under that system. He is not just doing a personal activity. So you're going to ask him, Moshe Mai, what's the nafkamina? I'll tell you what the nafkamina is. The nafkamina, how you handle it. I mentioned to you, please listen carefully. I'm telling you, deep in your Mishnah, it's not just philosophy. We mentioned before, the Rambam said that the Gedolim, when they were under Rome, before they sent out any delegation to Rome, they always learned Parshas Vayishlach. One time they didn't. Wasn't successful. Why didn't they? Do you know why they didn't? All the other times they understood that this was a struggle between Esav and Yaakov. No, if it's a struggle between Esav and Yaakov, we have to learn up the parsha Esav and Yaakov. It is a product of the sugi of Esav. I learned up the sugi of Esav Yaakov and how to go about it. This one time they said, this is nothing to it. It's some a political problem. It's some economic problem. It's some a technical issue. It's an accident. So we not handle accidents. That's camouflage. It appears to you a cause, but that's not the real cause. The real cause is part of a trend. We're going to talk about current events, Rabbi. Unusual to do that in Ishmael, but it's necessary, not because I think anybody knows about it, because I don't know about it either, but I'm sure your folks will talk to you about it and you'll hear about it. And before you start hearing the wrong Ashkofa, you have to hear what the Torah looks at this story. There is a set of politicians, and they have decided, for reasons which you leave the editorial to decide, we're not going into doing analysis on that, they decided to make a kind of summit or convention or meeting in a place called, not Minneapolis, Annapolis. Annapolis. A little for cock in a place in the middle of nowhere, and they're going to have a meeting there. What are they making the meeting for? There's a problem. The Jews, for the last 60 years, are having a problem with the Arabs. And in fact, in the last 10, 15 years, become much more serious. And in the last recent years, even worse. And maybe we've got to try and make peace. You have two main camps in the political, or I would say in the pragmatic attitudes of people towards it. You've got one attitude in the political parties to say, you've got to make peace. We can't fight forever. Terrorists can't be overcome. Even if the peace is a bad peace, it's better a bad peace than a good war. All this type of thing I'm sure you've all heard. Let's go and call Mevater, Mevater v'Oimer. Let's try and be Mevater. Mevater means relinquish Nachabis and Nachabis, and we make peace. And they can bring proof from it, because 30 years ago this fellow from Egypt turned up in Israel and got out of a plane and made peace and saved 30 years of war. That's great, so we'll do the same with them. There's a second set of politicians. Basically, the opposite. It's a very bad orange. You can't trust them, etc. They fight and they shout and they scream on that side. And we want to know what Klal Yisrael's attitude ought to be. Again, politically, we have two camps. I'm not describing now who holds what and do they hold it, or if you pay them a bit of money, will they change their mind? Most of them don't hold anything. They hold what's good for the party. But anyway, there's two opinions in the political thing. You got from the far left to the middle, holding peace, 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 and the more peace you make, you're Mevater, it's better. And you've got the right and the far right to say, this is not peace, it's a trap. All we did in the previous times when we gave up, like in Gaza, they gave up all the grand, and what's the result? They're sending in rockets to Ashkelon, and they're sending rockets to Amish non-stop the whole day. It's a whole barrage. It's a rainfall of rockets. And Chas V'Shalom, if they give away more, then the rainfall will come a lot closer to the center of Eretz Yisrael, says Hakonah. Both are very, what we call, pragmatic, down-to-earth kindness, and I don't know that anybody here can make a definite decision which is right. Anybody believes he's capable, please stick their hand up. Who can say who's right? You might be noitu to one side more than the other, but have you checked it out? No. And I'm going to tell you what the Talmudic attitude is. And here's where the big, big mistake is. The shoitim, both the right wing and the left wing, both those who are for the peace and those against the peace, they have a toas in the holy side. What's their toas? They think there happen to be some Arabs who never don't have any land. You got to reckon with them. Arabs got no land, and people living in a refugee camp, and no land, and sub conditions. You got a rachmanis on them. What are they expected to do but be terrorists? Give them something, beast them down. In other words, they look at the problem as being an accident. They look at the problem as being a mikra. They look at the problem as being a result of a situation which has developed. The Jews came back after so many years to Israel, they were sent away, they feel lost, that's why the blah, 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 all political reasons, We've got to make peace with them. And also they're looking at the problem as being a local cause problem. And therefore, I repeat, I'm not going to make any opinion whether right wing or right or left wing or right. That's not my issue. Both their opinions are wrong in the theoretic opinion because they're based on analyzing it as a local, coincidental, accidental happening. And how does the Torah say? Shaita sheba olam. That's not what went on. There's a melchemes olam going between the Kedusha and the Tumah. If you would understand that it's part of the trend, then Yaakov Avinu doesn't go to sit and make a convention with Esav in Annapolis. Yeah? He goes out to Doylan, Tfila, and Melchoma. See what he does? Yaakov Avinu has a program how to handle a trend of a melchemes Esav. And therefore, whatever they do is not successful. And when it's not successful, don't say it wasn't successful because the left wing did and not the right. And don't say it wasn't successful because the right and not the left. You know why they didn't succeed? Because of Shvei Apiatayla. They had the wrong pshat in the story. And I'm going to give you an example just to make it very simple. We all know there can be an argument between two people. One person and another person get into an argument. Somebody comes in to try and make peace. What's the first thing that the guy makes peace still? He wants to appease both sides, try and make shalom. The appeasement will only work if he understands what the shoresh of the machlekes is. But if he thinks the shoresh of the machlekes is A, it has nothing to do with that. He'll solve A and B is still going. He'll get nowhere. All these people look at the shoresh of the problem. So we say that the inyan over there is they miss the boat. They don't understand what the issue. They're handling a problem. It's not the problem. They say an example of somebody goes to a dentist and the dentist says, you've got a problem, you've got to get the tooth taken out. And the fellow's umming and oing, and well, you've got no choice. He gives an injection, takes out the tooth. And he says, well, it still hurts. So the dentist says, it's not no harm, just a few, 3 days. When you take a tooth out, it hurts for 3 days. After 3 days, it still hurts. Goes back to the dentist, Eva, I took out the wrong tooth. He can't put back the old tooth anymore. He's taking out a new tooth. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. They don't know what the problem is. They're looking for the wrong tooth. They're trying to extract the wrong tooth. I'm not talking about whether the solution is this one. I'm not going into the solution. The solution, lo manyanati, their understanding of the problem is totally wrong. We'll give you a second example of that, and again, without going into the practical details, but it's very important to understand that there is a set of problems which have occurred between the Haredi Eden and the government in the last 3 years, which has no parallel in the 60 years of the state. No parallel. They have made decrees against the yeshivas, which are not negated to you, they're negated to me, but they've cut down the finance of the yeshivas, and they've cut down the finance of yeshivas like nothing else. 95% of the finance they've cut out, and for the chutzniks, everything out, for the chadorim, for the seminaries, for everything Jewish, they've cut down millions and millions and millions of dollars. The one, 651 million shekel. Yeah? That's a few hundred million dollars. You know what it is? $150 million. For the Haredi. Who have they added the money on? For the neo-Nazis. There's a whole lot of neo-Nazis who came in from Russia. Don't know if you're familiar with groups. They're getting $1 million. That same money they take machine. There are, at the moment, two ways of handling it. You've got the way of the Haredi, the Mikarnas, and you have another, what's called religious party. We can't mention his name here because we're thrown out of the city. But there's a religious, quote-unquote, party who's part of the coalition and supports it all. So people shout at the religious party, say, how can you support a government who's chopping the money for the yeshivas and from the seminaries and all the cheders and from the transport, and from the kids, every dovish and kedusha, they're chopping from all sides. So they say, don't be so, we're in the government, we'll influence them, we'll have this power, this power, this power. But you know what their problem is? Shach always used to say it. They don't know to understand the trend. They look at it as a local argument. Take 100 shekel, give 100 shekel. They're trying to make deals. They don't understand that we have here a milchoma of Esav Midyankov. Milchoma's Esav Midyankov. They have to handle different. They don't understand it. They don't know how to identify who is the Esav.
They don't identify that we're talking about a Melchemes Esav and Yankov. If they identify that, they wouldn't join in. What happens is they've got the Tamidei Chachamim, quote unquote, joining the Esavs. Exactly as written in this week's parsha. It looks like a Tamid Chachem. Yeah? We'll explain it a bit better later on. There is a picture you should know in the general Anhog of Klal Yisrael of misinterpreting the problem. And when the problem is misinterpreted, the solution never works. That's what the Ramban says. Once they went to Rome and they didn't say it. What happened? Why didn't they go? You ever went on a journey and forgot your passport? Never. What do you mean you go to Rome and forget what you... When you go to Rome, you know, you have to prepare the diplomats who went. They didn't just send second-class citizens. They sent professionals. But the professionals... Oh, but this is a different problem. This is locals. Do you hear the idea? It says that Rabbanu still was successful. They didn't identify the trend. That's what happens over here. When they don't identify what's really going on, the system of the struggle is futile. They're taking out the wrong tooth. Now we want to go back to the parsha. We see a Amirat Gezah. The Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu, when he heard of Esau's arrival, the first thing he did, he split his own camp into two parts. After splitting the parts into two parts, he said, if one will be smit, the other will be saved. In the Chumash, there's no indication who was in each category. Who was here, who was there. He made two camps. You have any need? Who was in which camp, do you know? Shtetnish. The Chumash Shtetnish, who was in which camp? He's divided into two camps. He says, the one that Yisim, Zil's got a pshat, there's other biurim. But he says, if one camp will be smit, then the other camp will survive. Yaakov Avinu said, the other camp will survive. What does Yaakov Avinu do after that? He sends on these presents. Then he goes, after everything, he goes over and he finds that he's moved all his things over the river, but he's left some little pots. So the pasuk says, "Vayivoser Yaakov levadoi." Yaakov Avinu was left by himself. He was left alone. Poor guy. You know, you think of a little kid, 6 years old, left alone, poor kid. Yaakov Avinu wasn't a young kid at the time. He was a pretty independent man. He's got quite a lot of achievements behind him. And what's he worried about being levado? So Chazal say we don't mean only levado, we mean le kadoy. Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph. He found that he had left over some small vessels. And those small vessels, he says, I can't leave them over, I'm going to bring them across. The Gemara says that from here we see that Talmidei Chachamim have got a ichpatlem, their momoim, because Yaakov Avinu didn't say nish gefarat, leave it, he was a rich man, leave it behind. He went back to pick up the small kelim. Now there's two issues you want to focus on here, Rabbi says. The first thing, why was the small kelim? Maybe there was something else. Why dafka was it kelim? And second, what's this idea that Yaakov Avinu was so makbid not to leave things behind? To understand that a bit better, we first have to understand the second medrash. The Medrash tells us on the pasuk Vayivosa Yaakov Levadoi, Yaakov remained by himself. Very, very powerful Medrashim explain that the word Levadoi here is a very holy connotation. Do you know what it means, Levadoi? Something so esoteric that people here will not even believe that the Torah relates to such a subject. But basically, we're going to use it in the most picturesque way which we can say Yaakov Avinu separated himself from himself, and he divided himself into two entities, and he remained by himself. You look all perplexed. What do you mean separated from himself? What did he separate from what? And remember, we spoke about last week about the shoes, and we spoke about what's in the shoes. And we spoke about last week, if you recall, a very delicate issue, that Yaakov Avinu, when his whole entity was together, he didn't separate anything. You know what he did? He was living in his higher echelons, and therefore he didn't need to sleep. That was a discussion last week. We will not repeat it. You recall the Moshe? V'umamukin. This week's parsha, Yaakov got to a higher madrega. You know what he did now? Vayishor Yaakov levadoi. He remained by himself. What are you called to a person who remains alone? Please, Abayisha, follow. This is so sweet and so deep. He says, if you understand what Yankov identifies with, if you understand what Yankov looks upon as being the Ani of Yankov, then you'll understand that what he is what Rashi says at the beginning of the Chumash. That Kadosh Baruch Hu made a body and a neshama, put one into the other, put the spiritual into the physical. And Yankov Avinu had come to such a stage, as we've described, that he was living his spiritual. He could, at very unique occasions, not every time, say shalom to his body, as it were, and exist levadoi. Looks too surprising. Okay. I understand. You haven't come across it. Don't think it happens to you. We sent you straight to a shrink. I'm not suggesting anybody here should think. Yankov Avinu went through years and tens of years of avodah. Unbelievable before he got there. So don't think anybody here is going to get there so quickly. But the concept is like this. Like if a person, l'moshel, dreams. When he dreams, he doesn't necessarily dream in the relationship to the limitation of his body. He can dream completely detached. Yankov Avinu wasn't dreaming, he was fully alert. But alertness, his operation now was totally a nefeshtik operation. I'm not saying that he made an actual incision. I'm not saying his body was there and his nefesh was there. People understand me like that, just don't understand what I'm saying. We're not talking coarse. We're talking something much deeper than that. Yankov separated one from the other to the extent that the only thing operating was his nefesh and not his goof. His goof was following, like your shoes follow where you're going, but only his nefesh was going. Last week, his goof and nefesh were working in such a way that it was motivated and propelled by the koyach of ruach. Spirit kept it going, it didn't get tired. Now, levadoi. That's why Chazal compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Machzach, you look in the Medrash, Dvorim Nevoi, Yankov HaKadosh Baruch Hu ksi belevadoi, af Yankov ksi belevadoi. That Yankov managed to sublime into activity of the highest form. What did he do that for? We'll soon see. What happened when he got to that Madrega? You would think when he got to that Madrega, then we should take a photo of him. I don't know whether digital cameras can capture people who are levada, I don't know. But I mean, we should take, as it were, capture that matzah and say, Yaakov, you made it. Nobody else can get levada, and you became a levada. Because I'll say the only man who made the levada till Mitzvah Mashiach comes. He got to a Madrega of levada. Moshe Rabbeinu got it in a different way as well, but we won't go there. In the normal way, like Yaakov was the only one who made it. What would you say? Yaakov Avinu is levadoi. He is so pure and so detached and so elevated, no more struggle with no more Yetzirah. Just the opposite. You know who goes for him now? I don't know the words because I don't know anything about these struggles. But the one who struggles with every one of us is the Yetzirah. Personal Yetzirah. The Esav who, the Koyach of Sitra Acha, who runs, fights with Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. His major aim now is the Yankov, in which state? When he's Levadai. He becomes prey for the most vicious attack possible. A whole night of struggle with the mouth. Don't envy anybody who has such a struggle. It was a fight. Yankov didn't have it easy. He didn't say, go. It was a fight. That fight, how Yankov ran it and how he won it, these are very high in Yoni, which I don't understand myself. But Chazal tell us he had a type of fight which had an impact till the Kisei HaKovei. It wasn't a regular fight. Two brothers fighting, it happens. Two brothers fight, it shouldn't happen, it happens. Kids fight sometimes. Older people wrestle. Yankov Avinu had here a milchoma with Sora Shel Esav. Here we're talking about a mavach which went to Kisei HaKovod. It encompassed the whole creation. Like we spoke last about the ladder. He encompassed everything. Yankov Avinu did here a program preparing for generations of Klal Yisrael. The struggle against this everlasting foe, Esav. Not accidental foe, do you get the idea? Not coincidental, planned, programmed, because the only way you can grow. The same you can only grow when there's loisasses, when you've got temptations and overcome it. You can only grow when you've got a yetzerah and you overcome it. You can only grow when there's struggles and you overcome it. Those struggles are an integral part of the Yiddish person's growth. How they actually work and what their system is, if we have time to see Asher, I'll go a little deeper. First, the concept. How did Yaakov Avinu decide to handle this most critical situation? He hears he's going to have a struggle with Esav. The first thing is he divided his own machne into two camps. I personally do not have the ability to explain you what's written in the Sforah Makdashim, why he split and what he intended to do with splitting. These are very esoteric concepts. But we can understand, for we saw what he did himself, that by Yeshua Yankiv Vadoi, that was the higher edition of what he did first in the Machne. He separated the two Chalokim. So if you look in Rashi, a very interesting Rashi. One of those Rashis, when you look at it first, you think it's a technical, linguistic Rashi. But when you gribble around, you're in the Amkus, you see Dvom Amukri Mered. Rashi says that the Pasuk is a surprising Pasuk. But Yoyim Yaakov, Yaakov says, Im Yovoi Esav, if Esav will come, El Amachme Ha'achas, to one camp, Vehi Kohu, and will smite it, Chas V'Shorim, V'Hoyo, then there will be Hamachne Hashniyo, the second Machne Lifleto, sorry, Hamachne Hanish Or, the remaining Machne Lifleto, it will be saved. Now, we know there are words in Hebrew which are masculine, and there are words in Hebrew which are feminine. Says Rashi, a long Rashi, to show the word Machane can sometimes be male, masculine, and sometimes feminine. In this week's Parsha, in this Pasuk we just mentioned, we find both in the one Pasuk. What do we find? Im Yovei Yaakov, Yaakov comes, Ala Machne, not Ho Echod, Ala Machne Ho Achas. What's Achas? Loshem Shloim Ayutmi, Loshem Mekeva. V'hoyo HaMachne Hanish Or, should be Hanish Eres. Hanish Or, Lifleto, why? Loshem Zohar. So Rashi points out, not to worry, the word Machane has got application Zohar and a Keva. Fine? We understand why you can do both. But why was the same Pasuk deciding to call one Machane Zohar and one Machane Nekeva? What's meant? We can't explain the real heavy inside picture because we don't understand it, but we can tell you that a little insight. Yaakov Avinu, look up the Maharal, you see a remes to it, but it goes in others form deeper. Yaakov Avinu didn't just decide, I'm going to separate because if half get killed, at least the other half will remain. He made a specific division. Those who, according to the Inyonim, are called Nekevedik, it was Chorim, but they're called Nekevedik, they were the ones who might be hit. And the other ones would be protected. Oh, but you know what actually happened? They're all protected. Do you know why they're all protected? Because when everybody was mixed together, the Chorim and the Nekev, it doesn't mean men and ladies, it means the Bechinas. Then, even the Chelek of those who could be saved couldn't save the others, and couldn't save themselves. But when you separated them, then they became Levadoi. They could increase their Madrega, and they could save even the other ones. So the same as Yankel himself in his own nefesh did a separation Levadoi, he first made a Levadoi in the camp. I'll prove it in. There's a gewaltige Raya to this. There's a great proof for this. It's a peredigach. Yankov, the Pasuk tells, look at the Pasuk, peredigach. The Pasuk says, Yankov heard that they're coming, and he got dead scared, by Yachatz, as a Omashaito, he split the people, and the Tzoyin, into two groups. As soon as he split the two groups, he starts crying to Hashem, Shazoy vei, good Baruch Hu, please, save me from Ochi, from Esav, because I'm afraid of him. And now I went across the yard with my stick, and now I've become two camps. Do you understand what's very surprising in this pasuk of Shlomo? It's the most surprising pasuk. Listen well. Yaakov hears the terrible story that Esau is coming. You know what I'll do? I'll split into two groups. Then he turns to Hashem. You know, please save me because I'm two groups. He hasn't got two groups. Because before he had one group. And after Esau was gone, they all joined up one group again. So he only has an artificial two groups, which he arbitrarily decided to make. He could have made seven groups, as far as I'm concerned, if that would have been strategically fine. So how could he come to Gershbog and say, Hatsilini, you know me, I'd occupy the Esau? Because he says, Kibimakli, Vata, Yadda, Ato, Yisi, the Shtay Machnes. Ho Yisi, the Shtay Machnes means, you know, I've got so many people, I need two camps. You have managed fine with one camp before, and you managed fine with one camp afterwards. Suddenly, for this temporary situation, you needed two machnas. Chaboy said, if you're zoiche to get the tvash b'chol of tachas v'sheinach, which is going on here, it's dvorim amukim yoid. Yankiv Avinu said, I know we're going for a struggle with Esav. What do most people think the way you make a struggle with Esav? You got to get on with him. You got to have a modus vivendi. You have to get some common denominator. You got to get on with him. And Yaakov Avinu knew just the opposite. When you're having a problem with Esav, you need to reinforce the Ruchni to its peak. And in Klal Yisrael, not everybody can be top peaks. And the fact that there are people who are not their tops will prevent even the one who get to the tops getting to the top, because they're all mixed. He made them into two machnas. He made them the machnas of the Zchorim and the Kev. It doesn't mean Zchorim and Kev. It means the Bale Madrege Gevoya and the Bale Madrege Pochis. When there were two machnas, then each machna could do its best. The machna of the Toiv became pure Toiv. They haven't got the schlep of the other ones. And the other ones also improved because they haven't got the other guys with us, so they're going to be the best. You get the idea? So there is an advantage of all being mixed. But when you get to a problem, exclusive, elite. Yankov took that same idea by Yevosa Yankov. Levadoi. He remained alone. How did he explain he remained alone? As where he existed in this independence of entity to a way which nobody else had done before. Mamish like, almost like in his most spiritual communication with Hashem which has ever been from a normal human being, except for Moshe Rabbeinu and the Inyona because of Hashem. I'll go into it now. There was Isha Lakim and Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is a different target. Oh, but in normal people there was no such thing. Look at the Medrash. Ma'ach ha-kutshpoch u'ksiv be'levadoi af Yankiv k'siv levadoi dvorim nevoim. That's the pshat. Yankiv, I mean, you know, I'm going to have a struggle with Esav. The only reason I have a struggle with Esav, Esav has a fight and an argument with Kedusha. Strengthen the Kedusha. You don't go to Annapolis. You go to strengthen the Kedusha. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have a problem with the person who makes sure you take the right tooth out. You treat the right tooth. The right tooth to treat is Shtei Machnas. That's beautiful, the parasha. Ato Yisi the Shtei Machnas. I got to this target. Hatsin, therefore, Hatsilein, you know me, Adokim Yad Esav. I'm going to take it a bit further, Rabbi Yisai. This is Dvorim Noiroim B'Yosef. Mamish, frightful and fearful. It's not here to your own lives. Chazal tell us on the Pasuk, Hatsileini no, save me, Miyad Ochi Miyad Esav, for my brother from Esav. And everybody knows the famous Beis HaLevi who brings down the Chazal, that we don't need to be told that Esav was his brother, because you know all about that. So it's not unnecessary to say Miyad Ochi for my brother, Miyad Esav from Esav. Just say Miyad Esav. So he brings down the Mazayah Kodesh, Armad Roshim, and the ideas like this. Esav had two different schemes how to exterminate Yankov. One of Esav's schemes is fighting. He is a warrior. You're dying with Esav. Al Harbuch Tichya. Violence. When they see it doesn't go, they do something else. They make themselves friendly. Yankov Avinu was more concerned of the brotherhood of the Goyim, which made assimilation and reduce the spiritual standard of the Jewish people more than the annihilation which they might incorporate. So the Pasuk says, what did Yaakov say first? By Yom Yaakov Hatzideinino, please save me, Miyad. Ochi, for my brother, and then Miyad Esav. Because the thing which worries me most is if he behaves to me like a brother. There's a famous story from the Chasson Sofer. Rabbi said, this story is so sweet. He says, so sweet the story. He came to describe the inroad which the Haskalah, the enlightenment, and the assimilation program which the Germans and the other Goyim did, the damage it did to Klal Yisrael. And he gave his moshe like this. He said there was an argument between various forces in the heaven. Who's going to manage to get this man who is going down the street to take his jacket off? And he says, the rain said, I'll get him to take the jacket off. So he said, I'm going to make torrential rain like was here. But the more rain he made, the tighter the guy held his jacket on. Couldn't get him to take it off. The wind said, I'll do a good job. Howling wind, but the more wind there was, the tighter he held him. The sun says, I've got the eitzah. He makes it hot. He says, phew, he opens his buttons. Hotter, phew. Noch a bissel hotter, he takes it off. He can't take it anymore, he takes it off. He says, what do you see from the two? He says, those who tried with force, then automatically force brings a reaction of force. We fight back. But when you be sweet, then the nature is, we submit. That's only half the story. The story is much more serious. Please listen to something I'm going to tell you. Sorry, people don't know this secret. Where there's a struggle between Klal Yisrael and Esav on the physical level, we have a guarantee in this week's parsha. What's the guarantee? Yankev Avinu says, "V'hoyo ha-machne ha-nish or lefleto," the remaining camp will survive. Says Rashi, Bar Kocha, and the Rabban explains that they had a Kabbalah tradition from Hashem that Esav won't manage to exterminate the Jews. He'll try, he won't manage. He will not manage to exterminate Jewish people. That nace was only said, he had Rabbi Aaron. You know that nace was said? On physical extermination. We have a guarantee, physical extermination won't expire the Jewish people. Assimilation, we don't have any guarantee. The Miyad Esav, we have a guarantee he's not going to do anything. Miyad Ochi, we have no guarantee. You see how precarious we are? Now we have a question, and here's a big, big vikuach. And this vikuach, this discussion, it's so deep, and it's so important for you to understand the emes. We have two ways of handling assimilation, intermarriage, two ways of handling all the problems of, unfortunately, the masses of unreligious Jews who we try to mekarev, we want to mekarev, we have to mekarev. And there is a mahalach of dilution. Make diluted Yiddishkeit, and like that you'll be able to keep people within the fold. And we're not going to discuss the pros and cons of it, but we are in the pragmatic world, but we are going to say, you know where it comes from? From not understanding the trend of the problem. The problem is a lack of Kedusha. The only thing which will increase it is the only thing which will increase it is Vayachata Omar Sheitoi. Shimshon Refor Hirsch was one of the greatest leaders the Jewish people had in the last 200 years. I don't say the greatest, one of the greatest. He appeared on the Jewish historical horizon when German Jewry was plunging to total assimilation. There was constantly religious Jews left, but he came with the Chiddush. The non-religious Jews were becoming so influential, every kehillah, every community, every shul, and every organization was being infiltrated by the modern and assimilated people, and therefore everything was becoming diluted. Of course, there was religious people fighting the system from inside, trying to protect. Reb Shimshon and Paul Hirsch opened up a new shitte, which was called, anybody here speak German? Austrichgemeinte. Can you translate that? Separation community. Separating community. Austrich, it sounds so good in German. In English, it doesn't sound real. Onomatopoeic, you know? Austrich. It really sounds really... That Austrich Gemeinte, he came with a new principle. He says, we're making a new community. He says, I don't mind how many people in the community. I don't mind if there's a minion, or there's 20, or 40, or only one. But it will be a Pach Torah of Shemen. It'll be pure, holy oil. No infiltration. From here, we will save the Jewish people. And he had a lot of opposition. Because he said, if you're going to make your standards too pure, you're going to exclude so many people. He says, I'm going to include everybody by there being something original left. But if you dilute it, nothing will be able to overcome the people because the powers of assimilation would overcome. History has proven him right. All those who have survived German Jewry, and I don't mean after German, this whole era and period, were a result of him and the Chassid Sofer who followed him, doing the Austrich Gemeinte, separation, and like that, protection. Not fighting, independent, but pure. Nothing secondhand, no dilution, no vitor, no giving up. He isolated the problem. The people who don't isolate the problem, they went to a what do they call it, Annapolis convention. They said, there were a lot of conventions, those if you look historically, with the reform, with the conservative, we'll do this, and the Chassid Sofer and the and Hirsch both said, we're not going to any conventions. Because you don't go to a convention with somebody who, you go, if there's a problem, you try and solve the problem. But if his whole entity is to annihilate you, there's nothing to talk about. You know what you're supposed to do? Austrich Gemeinte, make yourself room. Keep things going well. Why is that so important? Vayivose Yaakov Levadai saved Klal Yisrael. In actual fact, the Malach tried the whole night to beat him and was unsuccessful. And we are told the last thing he did, the Malach, when he was unsuccessful, he gave him a beat between the body and the leg, and Yaakov Avinu therefore was Soilea, Soilea means, thank you, he limped. And as a result of his limping, therefore there's an Isser to eat Gudin and Osha. And the Ramban says, as a result of this, there came a Deira Shel Shmad. We won't go into big length of it, but the Ramban says, which is down in Medrash, that this Shmais, this hit, which Yaakov Avinu got from the thing, caused there to be a Deira of Shmad. There were throughout the generations, such generations, where the Goyim tried to make the Yidden to do Shmodai. Shmodas means forced conversion, and the Jews, rather than do that, gave up their lives with tremendous self-sacrifice, just not to give up their lives as Jews. What connection has this got to do with this beautiful idea of Yaakov being Levadoi? What's this got to do with this tremendous idea of Yaakov being holy and having won the whole war? And please, Rabbi, we're going to tell you something so delicate, so sensitive, so easily misunderstood. I pray that you should understand me correctly and not incorrectly. There is a delicacy we have to know in the history of Klal Yisrael. There have been generations where there has been, like was 70, 60 years ago, exterminations on a terrible oifen, but in a terrible way. But there was no call at the time for conversion. In fact, the Germans wouldn't take any conversions into reckoning at all. They wanted to kill everybody who had any Jewish blood in them, finished. But there were generations that conversion was the issue. The Goyim, Catholics more than the others, but the others as well, they all had it. Mishigas, they wanted to make Jewish people, they had it in Spain, they had it in other places, alter the faith, force the Jewish people to give up their faith or get burnt and alter the faith. We have difficulty understanding. We live in such a spoiled and society, a society of so much gashmis, we find it difficult to identify with it, but even more difficult to understand what is the reason Hashem Yisbarach ever brought such a type of generation. Without going to the length of it, I want to bring one point out which fits into what we're saying here. It's Dvorim Amukim. I hope you get it right. There are two ways that a person can get to Levadoi. The one way of getting to Levadoi was Yaakov Avinu's way. And that's the way we should have it. And if the people in Spain would have preserved their Levadoi system in a correct fashion, then they would have been levadoiniks in Spain, even in what was called the golden era. And the goyim are giving them so much money and so much wealth and power, they would have kept their kedusha at the separation, levadoin, the right way, they wouldn't get to out of the face. But they compromise a lot of their religion for the comfort and for the luxuries and for power and for being involved in society. That had to be cleansed up. There wasn't found any way at the time of finding a Yaakov who would do a levadoi. There wasn't a Rabbi Hirsch who would do a levadoi. So you know what makes a levadoi? There's another system of getting the levadoi. Getting killed by Kiddush Hashem. It looks to us the most cruel thing in the world, but it's not. Why do I say it's not the most cruel? I'll soon show you in a minute. For the goy's part, it's the most cruel thing in the world. But for the Yid, state in the Erzeruah, Marach Erzeruah, one of the Rishonim, that when a person was killed al Kiddush Hashem, it brought about in the Yid who was killed al Kiddush Hashem, in identification with the highest chelek of his neshama, which normally he has no communication with, and at that point, since he's able to say, I'm prepared consciously to sacrifice my life rather than my religion, then comes to live in him an element in his own nefesh, which his whole life he didn't have. And Akedekach, there were a lot of people who weren't so very religious. They were what we call simple, poshut Jews. But when the time came that they were offered the choice, life or religion, they gave up their life. And they, in this last tight moment, got to a tremendous high madrega, almost like Yankov Avinu, last week's Parsha, of living in their higher echelons. They got communication with a madrega, which is totally inaccessible to them otherwise. So everybody who was killed in the Utter the Fe got to a levadoi of his bechina, and therefore put things straight. Do you get what I'm saying? But it's not the levadoi we want. So what did the Yankov Avinu have? He won the war. He won the struggle. But the struggle is, you got to have a levadoi. And people who will follow the levadoi of Yankov Avinu, that's the ideal way. Sit and learn a whole mishmar. That's difficult. That's a levadoi as well. Yeah? It's a levadoi. You knock the goof into pieces there, and you do a levadoi. But, if you can't, that's zaroi deirash shel shmad. Rachman l'tzlan, deirash shel shmad, achieve the same thing through pain. Maybe one more Tosefos on that, to understand it. The Marach Arzeruah tells a tremendous chiddush. That the way he wrote this 800 years ago, that he has a Kabbalah from his Rebbes, that those people who are Moitzeh Nefesh are Kiddush Hashem in the correct way, in the point of the crux, they didn't even feel pain. They didn't feel pain at first in the fire. But at the point of death, they didn't. And why not? Because they were living in the Reka of that tremendous high Madrega of Chochmah Levadoi, and they had the separation achievement. So, who would apply to, not the simple people, but the where people that apply to? He brings a Kabbalah from his Rebbes. Kabbalah b'yadein, that's what he says, a Kabbalah. From the Marach HaZeruah, not Poshut. Yeah? What am I trying to show with this, Rabbi Yisai? By Yevosa Yankel Levada wasn't a coincidence. It's a technique, it's a program. When Klal Yisrael are in difficult times, don't look at Eitzes, be Mavata here, give up a bit of ground, give up a bit of this, bit of that. I'm not going to discuss this peculiar argument whether you should give up Jerusalem or not give up Jerusalem, politically, spiritually. I'm not going into all this evening. The old city, the new city. We find that too insignificant to even discuss. The point, because it's political and it's military and there's a lot of other facts I don't go into. We want to look at it from Hashkofa point of view. The Hashkofa point of view, when we make Yerushalayim more Kodosh, that's how we save Yerushalayim. We make it more of Vadoi, says it. You'll be surprised that Meir Sha'orim and the people there save the split of the city of Yerushalayim, and Yeshiva's Mir in Yerushalayim saves the split of Yerushalayim much more than all the right-wing people who make Havgonas and all the other activities they're trying to do to sub-split of Yerushalayim. That's what saves. Levadoi! A Levadoi! Because Baruch Hu sees pure Ruchni, then you win the Malach. And when you win the Malach, you got it all. And when you don't win the Malach, you lose it. Otherwise, you have to finish, but just want to One more nakuda. Yankiv Avinu left behind kelim. Kelim are vessels, small vessels. So we mentioned earlier that he went to pick them up because he found them important for his avodas Hashem. There's again a very deep esoteric point over here. Can you perceive what it means to be a keli of Yaakov Avinu? You can't. I'll tell you why. Because you still don't understand the Rashi at the beginning of Parsha V'yetzer of all the stones arguing Olaya near Tzadik is Roshay. But if you understood that properly, that the whole creation has only a tachlis when it serves the Talmud Chacham, and the only Talmud Chacham existing in those days was Yaakov Avinu, and the stones had the only opportunity in their lives of having opportunity, nobody would have a pillow. This opportunity to be able to sleep on there for them, going crazy, the Olaya near Tzadik is Roshay. This is the opportunity where those stones existed. That's like the Shemen ala Evan makes a Kedusha into the Gashmi. This idea that the Gashmi has a Rotzen to become Ruchni is a very deep and broad inyan. To understand that properly, you have to understand the whole creation HaKadosh Baruch Hu made all the four levels and what he made them from, and that they all have a ambition to get higher. In the same way as you have ambition to get higher, halvai you should know what to get higher. Some people want to get higher in Torah Yerushalayim. Some people want to get higher in other successes. But a person wants to get ahead. Everybody wants to get ahead. The wise person knows in what to get ahead. Everybody wants to get ahead. So he says, the animals, they want to get ahead as well. What's for them important? The stones, the vegetation. When they have opportunity of exposure to such a thing, don't ask what they get. Can you now imagine the kelim of Yaakov Avinu, what they were made of? Now you're going to know. New pshat Michael Svi in the Gemara in Tzadi Aleph in Chulin. When he found he had left over small kelim, it wasn't kelim you could buy elsewhere in the shop. A little kelim, little kad, the kadoi and the kad. Go to another shop and buy it. Of course you could go to another shop and buy it. But you know what kedusha lied in that? Maybe I'll give you an example. There's a story told of some of the great gedolei hador. They used to learn all the life on a shtender. On a shtender, didn't have like today metal. Shtenders used to be made of wood. And they requested that their coffin should be made out of their shtender. Because they held that the shtender on which they had learned, or the bench they had learned all their lives, had such kedusha in it, because it was their supporter. Do you understand what the Yaakov Avinu's kelim were? Not sentimental value, real tachlis. Now I want to tell you, if they're left behind, who's going to look into them? Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to utilize them? That's the most dangerous thing, that the Sitra Achor should use Yaakov's kelim. Now, we don't have time to express at length what we mean with this. Those who understand, understand. And those who don't, will understand another year. But I'm telling you, the person has to be careful not to make a keli with his kedusha and leave that keli for the Sitra Achor to use. Because if the Sitra Achor uses his keli, much worse. He purposely went over to make sure his kad should not be misused by the sitach, and he was moist and nefesh for it. That's the oimik of the Gemara in Chulin Tzadi Aleph, who says that tzadikim momoinim chavivim olam yosemi gufam. Why? Because they understand that these monies they've put aren't just regular monies. They have monies with the big madrega. They're not monies of regular sort. They're monies with the niskadish. We should understand. We have in front of us very difficult times. I'm not putting anybody to get nervous, and I don't want anybody to get nervous. Don't read the newspapers. You know what's going on, it's fine. You have no idea what's going on, you're at ease. But you have to know, we need your levadai. Every person's learning, and every person's tefillah, and every person's madrega, fighting his yetzirah, are needed for Klal Yisrael now more than all the politicians, and then all the armies, and all the other activities to save the country from its onslaught. We need levadais. The more levadais, the more high quality the levadai, the more you are levadai in your own life, separated from the tomb of the goyim, separated from the onslaught of the Arshkofa, that Klal Yisrael will be more successful, you will be more successful, and we'll see the Geula Shleima b'meheirah b'yameinu amen.